want to thank Joan for asking me to speak today, because you know, coming up here gives you a chance to really reflect on the topic in a way that you wouldn't if you were just sitting down. So, and I can't help feel very fortunate to have, you know, very caring friends, family, and a safe home and a country to belong to overall, to, you know, when I think of this topic. But today I want to speak about a very specific challenge and a very concrete phrase, four simple words that provided me a lot of comfort. So the personal challenge I want to speak of is a fairly common one. It was adjusting to the lack of sleep I had to go through when I had my first child. Now, this was particularly challenging for a number of reasons. First, I love my sleep, and I am one of those really fortunate people who has always been able to fall asleep easily, stay asleep all night long, and have a nap as well in the middle of the day if I need to. So that's where I was coming from. And secondly, it was challenging because even though I was mentally prepared for an interrupted sleep schedule with a new baby, I was still somewhat operating under the illusion that infants are predictable and they're trainable. So in my case, my son was not the greatest sleeper that, you know, and that was the conversation at the playgrounds amongst moms. You know, well, you know, he's getting to be a good sleeper, and that I was not experiencing that. What ended up happening was his ability to sleep uninterrupted actually started to decrease the older he got. And by the time he was 3 months old, he was waking up every hour. That meant I was waking up about 10 or 11 times a night to settle him. And the challenge part of this story is that these hourly wakings continued until he was about 15 months old. So this period of new motherhood, while being one of the happiest times of my life, also presented a fairly significant, unexpected challenge, because it was not just the lack of sleep, it was not just the anxiety that all new parents have when they realize they're responsible for another human being. It was a more insidious self-doubt about whether or not I was doing the right thing to solve the problem. And the problem was trying to get a baby not to wake up when the baby wants to wake up. That was my problem to fix, and I was not doing very well with coming up with a solution. And at the same time, I was also dealing with, you know, my friends and family and people who love me, who kind of kept on telling me about the importance of teaching my child good sleep hygiene. And also really told me how I should be taking good care of myself. So I was in this perpetual state of problem solving. Did he need to be fed more or less? Was another burp required? Am I not being consistent enough? Maybe he needs more fresh air. I had notebooks with detailed records on the minute he awoke or slept, trying to detect some pattern that would help me make sense of this non-sleeping baby. And I was making these records in the middle of the night as well. So that was my challenge. Now, I could have gone on for quite a while in this manner, but thankfully one night when I was rocking him to sleep, I had the words, "This too shall pass," float up from my subconscious. I am not sure why or how those words came to me or why I clung to them, but I started repeating it like a mantra every time I had to go through this bitterness of sleeplessness. I'm sure I must have heard these words in passing before, but now what was different was I suddenly internalized it as a truth, and it was a very comforting truth. And of course, it is true, because Forrest did eventually sleep through the night, and things slowly improved after he was 15 months old, and he was a pretty decent sleeper by the time he was 3 years old. So why do I talk about this simple truth that came to me one night, "This too shall pass"? I think it's because I really got the implications of what that means. It's not just that I would eventually get a good night's sleep. But if this too shall pass, I could truly see and feel how limited my time with him would be. He would not be a baby forever, and I only had this time to savor it. And reflecting back, I wish I had more fully embraced what those words represented. This too shall pass. I would have cared less about what people thought. I probably would not have tried to make him cry it out in the middle of the night. I would have let him join the family bed earlier. I would have not taken such scientific recordings of his sleep patterns in the middle of the night. And I probably would have gotten more rest. For the record, I did do a quick Wikipedia search, and the story goes that this phrase seems to have originated in the writings of medieval Persian Sufi poets. Apparently, the fable goes that a powerful king asked his wise men to create a ring that would make him happy when he is sad. So the wise man gave him a ring with the words, "This too shall pass," inscribed on it. However, the truth of this adage is that though it offers consolation in tough times, it also represents a curse when you are in happy times. So it is a statement of truth in good times and bad. Returning to my dilemma, I see now that when I accepted that my challenge would pass, I was able to stop fixating on the problems of the night wakings, and I was able to appreciate what I did have, a healthy baby boy who liked to wake up at night. That realization allowed me to drop my anxiety. So what if I had to wake up more? I would just sleep in a bit more, and I would doze off more often, just like he did. So that's my bumper sticker solution to a challenging parenting time. This too shall pass. It's a mantra to hold on to when the day-to-day challenges get you down. And I really needed it when we started potty training.
I'm not the best person to talk about how to find your way back to your roots. I've gotten lost too many times now to ever get back to my good old days. Instead, in times of crisis, I prefer to just roll with the punches and move forward. So, despite feeling very lost on a number of occasions, I try to make the best of those situations. I try to end up landing on my feet, or at least brushing myself off and saying it seemed like a good idea at the time. The technique I use to help me deal with my personal challenges is over-planning. I credit that tendency with my many years spent as an amateur chess player. Chess is great for introverts like me who tend to overthink. Chess also taught me the importance of planning, because if you don't plan, my opponents on the chessboard will take advantage of my lack of preparation in some most unpleasant ways. Now, by planning, I don't mean just thinking about doing something and hoping for the best. I try to think fully and realistically about the future and prepare for many possible outcomes. For example, in chess, I assume my opponent will react in a number of predictable ways, and my opponent might also make a little blunder, and which would be a lucky one for me. I make plans for all those outcomes. However, it is important that I keep in mind my opponent can do something surprising. Some things that I can't anticipate. Obviously, there's no way to plan for those things that I don't really expect. All I can do is adjust and salvage some of my previous planning to minimize the disruption. I try to roll with the punches. I will use the summer when I took my family to Disneyland as an example of why I like to make thorough plans. The first thing I did was I actually bought a book all about visiting Disneyland. The book told me to carefully plan my day at Disneyland so I would go to the most popular rides early in the morning when the waiting lines were the shortest. That way, more time could be spent on rides and less time on lines. Of course, as we traveled through the park, we might also see some less popular attractions. So I studied my maps carefully and I created different charts and timelines depending on the rides that my kids might want to see. I knew that I could not perfectly plan for the length of time we might be in any waiting line. I just was ready to take advantage of short lines to go on more rides. That's why I had plans for a predictable day of long lines, but I also had another set of plans for a day when the lines were shorter. When I showed my plans to my kids, they laughed at my maps and my charts and my timelines. But when I pointed out that we would go on lots and lots of rides, starting with Space Mountain, their laughs turned into wide eyes of anticipation. I started to imagine winning Father of the Year award for my kids. Now, my plans to settle in near Disneyland on the night before the big day went perfectly well. We were all ready to go to Space Mountain early in the morning. We got to the park gate before it even opened, and we sprinted to the front of the line of Space Mountain. Now, to say that my 8-year-old daughter and my 12-year-old son were excited about going on the ride would be an understatement. On the other hand, for me, the idea of riding a roller coaster put my stomach in a knot, and the prospect of doing the ride in the darkness of Space Mountain only made matters worse. Nonetheless, I got strapped in with my kids, and I will never forget the excitement on their faces, nor will I forget the sudden lurch of the roller coaster as we began our slow climb into the darkness. The results at the end of my roller coaster ride were not as I had planned. When the ride stopped and I could see my children, they looked very pale and ill. I further suspected that something was wrong when I suggested that we head to the next exciting ride, and they looked at me with panic and dread, rather than joy. Apparently, my children had just discovered that they were like their father and did not really care for roller coaster rides. All they wanted to do was to walk slowly and shakily outside to quietly sit on a nearby bench. At that point, I realized that my well-crafted plans for my family to spend a full day going on several roller coaster rides were falling apart. My kids were even a little reluctant to go on the Jungle Boat ride for fear that it might be a roller coaster. To say the least, this was not what I had planned. However, when life presents me with such surprises, I do appreciate the fact that I have preparations to fall back on for guidance. And in this case, I had my maps of the park and my research into the various attractions, and they allowed me to quickly create new plans for my family to explore some of the more obscure attractions that most people skip. For instance, not many people take the time to actually explore the displays inside of the iconic fairy tale castle at the entrance of Disneyland. A lot of people just sprint right past that building. Now, all in all, the collapse of my initial plans for Disneyland actually turned into a pleasant and leisurely exploration of the Magic Kingdom. In fact, the highlight of the day was when my happy and relaxed family watched the evening parade that featured characters from Disney's latest movie called The Lion King. My daughter particularly loved the parade and later watched the movie numerous times. However, her love for African animals turned into a surprise for me many years later when she married a young South African and actually moved to Africa. I am still trying to adjust to that unexpected turn of events. All I can say is that I am now rolling with the punches and planning a long trip to South Africa to meet my third grandchild.
So my story begins in 2010 when I was living in Jacksonville, Florida. I had moved there the previous year for my first professional job after I finished my master's degree in 2008. On the surface, things looked good. With my boyfriend at the time, I shared a nice apartment in a historic area of the city that was close enough that I could walk to my office each day. I had a job in my field working on restoration of the Florida Everglades, which paid well and offered benefits. I had a great relationship with my boss and was friends with many of my coworkers who were all around the same age as me. Sounds pretty good, right? But beneath the surface, I felt stuck. I think a lot of it came from the expectation that I should be happy. All of my education had led me to this point, getting a job in my field. I should have been especially happy because I got that job in the midst of a major economic downturn, when prospects were scarce and competition was high. But the truth was, I wasn't. I disliked my job immensely. It wasn't what I expected when I entered the environmental field. Instead of working with like-minded conservationists, working to restore the Everglades to their natural state, I found I was part of a quite conservative government and corporate partnership where money mattered more than anything. As the most junior staff person in my office, I had very little influence, and my role was often reduced to taking notes at meetings. My illusions were shattered. At the same time, I was feeling stuck in my relationship. We had been together for 2 years, and again, on the surface, things looked pretty good. However, the deeper connection that I was longing for was missing, yet I felt constrained by the circumstances. He had moved to Florida with me, and after having trouble finding a job, he had gone back to school, so I was the sole income earner. And I was 25 at this time. I felt a lot of pressure to make things work, and for the first time in my life, I felt completely unable to deal with the situation that I found myself in. I knew things needed to change, so I began to embark on a journey that evolved over several years. One of the first things I did to try to become unstuck was take a 40 Days to Personal Revolution course. Though I had never done anything like this before, it sounded like exactly what I needed, and I signed up immediately. This program emphasized yoga, meditation, journaling, and healthy eating as the cornerstones to transformation. Though I don't recall any major breakthroughs during those 40 days, it was through this program that I learned the benefits of a regular meditation practice to help calm my mind and clearly identify what is real from what is fear. In other words, I learned how to ground myself in times of chaos and panic. I also reinitiated regular journaling, which I found to be the best way for me to process my feelings and ultimately better understand myself. Journaling proved to be crucial to figuring out what I wanted from both a career and a relationship. And with each bit of clarity, I found myself feeling more hopeful and less stuck. While much of the hard work of becoming unstuck was done through solitary practices of meditation and journaling, I definitely didn't do everything on my own. I reached out to several of my close friends and found that some were going through similar things in their own lives. Being vulnerable and sharing myself with others allowed me to develop closer friendships and gain more clarity on my feelings, but most importantly, not feel alone. It was also during this time that I joined the UU Church of Jacksonville, which gave me more opportunities to tune into my deeper self and connect with others, particularly through the small covenant groups that we had. While I had friends before, the church gave me community, which I didn't even realize was missing in my life until I had it. By becoming connected with the broader UU community, I discovered their involvement with local organizations in Haiti and applied to go on a service learning trip in 2011. This experience allowed me to look at my life from a different perspective and make some significant changes when I returned, like ending my relationship. The next several years of journaling, conversations, and learning, stemming from my first visit to Haiti, ultimately led to my decision to completely change careers and apply to nursing school. It is a decision I am continuously grateful that I made. As I mentioned at the beginning, my disappointment with unmet expectations contributed significantly to my sense of being stuck. I find this is something I have to continually practice, letting go of expectations of myself, others, and my life in general. Reflecting back on stories like this helps me to realize the power I have to make a change, whether it be in my attitude or my situation. And I hope these experiences will continue to guide me as I face challenges in the future.